Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when we gather together every Sunday morning, we have an occasion and it is our practice to confess the Apostles' Creed. But I wonder, in that confessing of the Apostles' Creed, how often that we stop and consider the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, as we have been going through the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read that many times in our lives, it's the great benefit and the blessing of having a catechism that can teach us these main and plain doctrines that are found in the teaching of Scripture. And this is what the catechism does here regarding the ascension of Jesus Christ, which we looked at earlier this evening. You'll notice in number 49 of the catechism that we receive benefits because Christ has ascended into heaven. And this evening what we want to look at is that third benefit that we receive because of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And this is the benefit the catechism outlines for us. Notice it says, third, that He sends us His Spirit as an earnest. This is a benefit that Christ ascended into heaven and now sits and rules at the right hand of the Father, as Jesus had told the disciples that He would send another Comforter to be with them. He said He will be with you and He will dwell in you. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who comforts, who guides, who leads, who directs, who convicts, who strengthens. He is the ministry, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies the believer, conforming us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The catechism goes on, and it says, by whose power we seek those things which are above. Notice the ministry of the Spirit. He is the one who animates us to seek the things of Christ. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's there to be worshipped. That's why in the Beatitudes, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, that the life of the believer is to seek first the kingdom of heaven. All the other things will be added unto you. You know, we get so worried about the eating and drinking and what are we going to wear? And we're not going to have enough. And Jesus said, your first priority in life is to seek the kingdom of heaven. The other things will be given unto you. He'll take care of those things. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we seek the glory of Christ in our lives, that we seek His exaltation in all that we do. I was talking in Vacation Bible School this week to the kids in my class, and talking about the specific gifts and talents and abilities that God the Holy Spirit has given to them. And speaking about how we glorify God with those specific talents and gifts that He has given to us. And it's the same as what Paul says, whether we eat or whether we drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. And you ask the question, how do you glorify God by eating and drinking? You give Him thanks. And so we glorify God with the gifts and talents that we have and the abilities that we have when we turn and we give Him thanks. When we turn and we recognize who it is who gives us the ability to do the things that we do. God the Holy Spirit has done this, and He deserves the praise in all the honor that we might receive among men. He gets the praise for the one who has given us these abilities. You remember the Israelites, what the Lord had told them when He brought them out of Egypt into the Promised Land, is not to forget who it is who gives you strength to get wealth. How easy it is for us to forget who gives us the strength and the power and the abilities that we have day by day. And so this is the ministry of the Spirit. And we seek those things where Christ sits at the right hand of God and not things that are on the earth. And so, as our text says this morning, look at Romans 8. And notice verses 13 through 16, what the Apostle Paul writes here regarding the ministry of the Spirit. So, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the benefit that we have. One of the benefits that the Catechism speaks of because of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sends His Spirit as an earnest. In earnest is the Greek term an aerobon, which simply means a down payment or an engagement ring, if you will. When a man finds the woman that he wants to marry, he goes out and he purchases, usually, an expensive engagement ring. And he gives that engagement ring to his bride-to-be as a down payment, as a promise that the wedding is coming, that the consummation of the wedding is going to come. That's the down payment. And what the Holy Spirit is, who He is to us, is a guarantee of our blessed resurrection. He is a guarantee of all that Christ has done for us as His people. You can be assured of this, that all the benefits that Christ has merited become ours, and the Spirit testifies that you belong to Jesus Christ by His conviction, His testimony, His leading, His comforting, His preserving, His increasing, His sanctifying work. You can be assured, beloved, that you are a child of God, and all the benefits accrue to you that Christ has accomplished because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The blessing, the benefit that we receive of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, you cannot calculate it. It's incalculable. It goes beyond our understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And as you look to the Reformed Confessions, you don't find a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit in certain particular doctrines. You'll find certain articles that speak of the Holy Spirit. The Heidelberg Catechism has one. But it doesn't mean that He's not involved in the other articles, because you find Him in question answer number 1 all the way through 129. You see the Holy Spirit's ministry scattered throughout in the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. But the Holy Spirit is, because He is mysterious at times to people, because of the way that He works behind the scenes, as it were. He is the one in creation who is brooding above the waters. He is the one who animates the creation at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He seems to be always behind the scenes. Why? Because it's the ministry of the Spirit to shine upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Very similar. Now, we don't want to put a certain hierarchy on the triune God, and ontologically, as regards His person, there is no subordination within the ontological Trinity. All three persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are all fully God, and they're co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. But in the outworking, which is called the economic Trinity, the outworking of the triune God and how they work within this time and space continuum, there is a subordination that goes on. The Son submits to the Father. And the Spirit then is sent by the Father and the Son. And so it's the Spirit's work, as He seems to be behind the scenes, very reminiscent of John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist, as he had said that Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. Why? Because when Christ comes on the scene, He is the one that the Father has sent for the salvation of all those who were given to Him. He is the shining light. He is the light of the world. He is the salt of the earth. He is the temple of God. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit works within us as believers, testifying that to us. That truth, that Christ is the only way of salvation. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, and you have said something about the ministry of Jesus Christ, and you know it wasn't quite right what you said, and you were pricked in your heart about it? And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you're not bold for the Lord Jesus Christ, when you compromise, when you shrink back, when you're afraid of the things of the world, you're afraid to open your mouth, and then you have that conviction. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit who convicts us. Because the Spirit of God wants us to be bold for Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, we gather together here on the Lord's Day and other occasions to learn and to hear from the Word of God, that we might then scatter as the people of God to be truly salt in Jesus Christ. The salt is a preservative, and that's where we go, into our perspective vocations, and we spread the salt and we shine the light for the glory of Jesus Christ. And as the Catechism says in 86, then men might see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. This, again, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer. That's what the Apostle says here in verse 13. Notice the ministry there, and you have the outlines this evening. We'll be looking at that outline. The Holy Spirit mortifies. The Holy Spirit puts to death the deeds of the flesh. We need this. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit putting those deeds of the flesh more and more to death. Now, what are the deeds of the flesh? This is the question, as the Apostle says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. And the death that he's speaking thereof is not just simply physical death. You will die physically. But he's speaking here of the spiritual death. If you are living after the flesh, you show yourself as to be one who is spiritually dead. You have no life in you. And the Apostle says, but if you live according to the Spirit, if you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. And the deeds of the flesh, as the Apostle outlines them, if you want to look to Galatians chapter 5, and you'll notice what the Apostle Paul writes here about the works of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh. We look at Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are evident. They're manifest. They're clear. They're seen. You know the works of the flesh. You know those things, beloved, that are contrary to the works of Jesus Christ or to the Spirit of Christ. And notice he says, it's adultery. It's one of the deeds of the flesh. When you see someone living, practicing habitually in that vice of adultery, they are living after the flesh. At worst case, they are a very weak Christian, but that's the best case. Worst case is they're not a Christian at all. They're deceived if they even think they are, if they continue to practice that. Now, we don't like to hear that today because we like to say, well, everybody still sins as believers. That's right. But we don't practice that. That's not our walk. That's not our lifestyle. You read the book of 1 John and you'll find out if we say that we love Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say you are in Him, but your deeds demonstrate that they are that of the vice which are spoken of here in Galatians 5, you're deceiving yourself. You're under a delusion because the Spirit of holiness dwells in believers and He drives us always more and more to a walk of holiness. It's not going to be perfect in this life, but beloved, you're on the narrow road that leads to life. And you're on the narrow road that leads to life. You are going to be putting off the deeds of the flesh because this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. He goes on and he says, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. How clear can that be? Can you make it any clearer? If you practice these things, if that's your walk, if that's your lifestyle, you're not on the road to heaven, you're on the road to hell. And if you think you're on the road to heaven and you're practicing this lifestyle, you're under a deception. You are deceived. As we would say, the wool has been pulled over your eyes. He says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, or as we would say, if we put to death the deeds of the flesh continually more and more, and we live by the Spirit, this is going to be seen in our life. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control, faithfulness. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry that leads to life. This is the broad road that leads to destruction, is that of 19 through 21. And this is the narrow road that leads to life in verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. And that's the question we need to always be asking ourselves, isn't it? Am I putting to death the deeds of the flesh? Do I revel in those things? Or am I grieved when I dabble in them from time to time? You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us to put these things off more and more. There's no condemnation for the believer because Christ took our condemnation. You need to understand that, beloved, that when you do sin, as John said in 1 John 2, we have an advocate in heaven. He intercedes for us continually. But the ministry of the Spirit drives us to that conformity, to look to Jesus Christ as our advocate, our intercessor, our only hope before our Father in heaven. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Notice the Heidelberg Catechism, question number 88 through 90, speaks in this way of mortifying the flesh. And how many things does true repentance or conversion consist? Two things, the dying of the old man and the making alive of the new. So this is a continual work that goes on in the life of the believer. Continually dying of the old manners, the old disposition of life, the old way of living, the old thinking patterns, and there is a newness of life. And this is what Paul wrote, isn't it, in 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. 89 says, what is the dying of the old man? The heartfelt sorrow for sin, causing us to hate and turn from it always more and more. And 90, what is the making alive of the new man? Heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing us to take delight in living according to the will of God in all good works. You see, there is a change because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the sinner who is now saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and is called a saint in Christ Jesus. This is the ministry of the Spirit of God. And this is a benefit that we receive because Christ has ascended to heaven and has sent His blessed Holy Spirit to fill our hearts. Secondly, notice that the Holy Spirit leads. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Notice the leading that takes place of the Spirit of God, the drawing of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God prompting and motivating us, convicting us, and driving us. The Spirit is said in Mark chapter 2, I believe, that the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, that He might there defeat Satan in the wilderness and redeem His people. As a part of his active obedience in resisting the temptation of the devil. But the Holy Spirit leads us in this way. John 14, 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, understanding this in context, He is speaking specifically to the apostles of Jesus Christ. And what he means there is that all the things that Jesus had spoken to them, the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance, that they would then write that down in the inscripturated word. But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, notice, to teach them the way that they are to walk. He does that to us today by bringing us to the teaching of God's word. That's why you hear me time and time again say to be in the Word of God. To get into the Word and the Word into you, because this is the means by which the Spirit of God leads us as the people of God. He teaches us things. Do you know the end of the story, beloved? You know why you know the end of the story? Do you know why you know that Christ is the one who is the victor, who has overcome? That at the end, all things and the consummation, that everything that offends in the kingdom will be cast out, because the Spirit of God has taught you through the Word of Jesus Christ. You know these things because the Spirit has taught you. Do you know why you believe that the world was created by God and He spoke all things into existence? Do you know how you know that? Do you know why you believe that? Because the Holy Spirit testifies to your soul that this is truth. And you know it's truth. And you know when someone starts talking about evolution or the Big Bang Theory or any other type of how the world was created You know that it's a lie, and you know that it's foolishness, and you know they're suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. Why? Because the Spirit has created faith in your heart to believe the truth of God's Word, and you know that God spoke all things into existence, and by them, by His Word, they exist. This is how He leads. Notice John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He continually guides into truth. So He teaches and He guides. Now, where is He teaching and guiding from? From the Scriptures. It's always in conjunction with the teaching of God's Word, with the Scriptures. That you hear so much today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's just way out there in that teaching. That, you know, I got up this morning and I had French toast rather than pancakes because the Spirit spoke to me. You hear that kind of nonsense? You listen to the radio enough, you'll hear it. You'll hear things of, I was driving down the road one day, I was getting ready to go to work, and I got to the stop sign. I normally go right because the work is only a half a mile from there, but the Spirit told me to go left. And as I went left, you know, the things that I saw as I was going left, and I went around a block a few times and I came, but the Spirit led me, so who am I to resist? The Holy Spirit doesn't lead that way. The Holy Spirit leads through His Word, and I find nowhere in there that He tells you to have French toast or pancakes. Those are what's called adiaphora things. It doesn't matter. The Lord gives you those choices. Do you want French toast or do you want pancakes? Well, have what you want. Because the Lord gives us the ability to make choices that way. But when it comes to the teaching of Scripture in how we are to live, who do you give glory to when you have your breakfast? You give glory to the Lord. This is the ministry of the Spirit again. He has come and He will guide you into all truth. To the truth. And Jesus said, sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So beloved, we're sanctified. We're set apart more and more by the truth of Scripture. You cannot be sanctified, you cannot be led, you cannot be guided, you cannot be taught, you cannot be instructed apart from the Word. Now I find this an interesting thing, that this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to teach His people from the Word of God, and yet we have churches today that are simply abandoning the preaching of God's Word. You can see what it is. I mean, if you think about it for a moment, you recognize that it's an attack upon the Word of God. Has not Satan done that from the beginning? Did he not from the garden say to Adam and Eve, did God really say that you're going to die? You're not going to die. It's an attack upon the Word. And the children of Satan do the same thing. They attack His Word. And then you get churches that don't want to hear the Word and think that the highest form of worship is simply singing songs. No! The highest form of our worship is the preaching, the proclamation, the hearing of the Word of God. You cannot jettison the Word of God. You cannot abandon the Word of God and call it worship. You can have one less song and still have worship. But you cannot have worship apart from the teaching and the instructing of the Word of God. It's amazing to me where these people are not understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit and also seeking the Holy Spirit. Do you find anywhere in the Scriptures where we are called to seek the Holy Spirit? No. We're to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to look upon Him. And the ministry of the Spirit is to shine upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He teaches and He guides and He directs in all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. Look at that letter C there. 1 Peter 1:2. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying of the Spirit to do what? That you may obey Jesus Christ. He sanctifies us for obedience. And that's progressive in the life of the Christian. Always more and more. But again, notice the ministry of the Holy Spirit to set us apart more and more. To sanctify something, or that something is holy, means that it's set apart for a specific purpose. Now we have a table up here. The table that we use here for the Lord's Supper is specifically set apart for that purpose. The baptismal font, the same thing. It's set apart for that purpose. This building, it's not holy in and of itself. It's the place that the church gathers together for worship, and it's set apart for that purpose. So in other words, we don't use it for a purpose that is base. That is, you think of the things in Galatians 5 there that are in conjunction with those vices. Why? Because it's set apart that we use it for the glory of God. That's our lives. We're set apart unto the glory of God. That is our life, beloved. Sanctified for obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. The ministry of the Spirit. When we're weak, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You know, when you're times that you're struggling, when you're tried, when you're tempted, when you're discouraged, and you don't actually know what to say, it's the ministry of the Spirit to work within us. He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, He makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. What a joy to know that the Spirit intercedes for us as the people of God, teaching us what we ought to pray for. And that's the Word. He brings us to the Word. He brings us continually to the Word to teach us to ask the God the Father through the Word these things that are acceptable unto Him. Now notice the Spirit's work in the Heidelberg Catechism, what it teaches in question and answer number one. As I told you, the Catechism is filled with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and is sprinkled throughout. But notice number one, what it says there to the end of answer number one. Wherefore, by His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He assures me of eternal life. He assures me of eternal life. The Catechism says here that it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give you the assurance of your salvation. That you know that you are a believer. How do you know that you're a believer? Because He speaks to you through His Word. He testifies that you have heard the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have believed upon Him, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that you have no hope apart from Him. And that is what you are believing, and you are confident in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit assures you that you have eternal life. And He makes you heartily willing and ready from now on to live unto Him. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to cause you to live unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at number three there in what the Holy Spirit does. He also adopts. The Apostle Paul says in verse 15, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. And you'll remember, as I have said, that when Jesus brings an announcement to His disciples, the most common form of address as He announces His presence is fear not, because they were fearful people. And so, we didn't receive the Spirit again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. Beloved, the very fact that you cry out to God and call Him Father, that's a term of endearment, Abba Father. It's like saying Daddy. It's that close relationship that you know God is your Father. The very fact that we do that, the very fact that you pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That the first petition is that you desire and delight that God's name be hallowed or magnified or set apart as holy, glorified in that way. It's a demonstration that you are one who has been adopted into the family of God. And you do these things, beloved, because you are in the family of God. You don't do to become, you do because you are. That's who we are, and that's why we do what we do. You cry out and you pray to Him because you have been adopted into the family of God. Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us unto adoption as sons. We are not the sons of God naturally, we are sons of God by adoption. We have been brought in to the household of faith. Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this again is the adoption. Notice the work of the Spirit there in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So you see, He plants us into the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the adopting work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings us into the family. He regenerates. He creates faith in the heart. He sanctifies, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. He comforts us. He assures us of our eternal salvation. He more and more points us to the Lord through His Word, and He will one day glorify us that we might be conformed in a perfect sense to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much today, beloved, is the work of the Spirit forgotten in your life? How often do you think day to day about the ministry of the Spirit? I can tell you right now that I would not preach, if I did not know that the Spirit of God was dwelling in me, leading me, guiding me, directing me, working in and through me to preach His Word. I would not be able to do the ministry of the Gospel if the Holy Spirit... I think often of like Moses, when Moses was called to go out into different places, and he said to the Lord, "If you don't go before me, I'm not going. I will not go." God must go before us. God must give me the words to speak, and He must give you the ears to hear that His name might be glorified. And that's the promise that He gives, isn't it? That He opens up our ears and gives us understanding to hear the Word. He is the one who plants us into Jesus Christ that we might then cry out, "Abba, Father." Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is such a blessed ministry here of the Spirit. You're a child of God. You don't have to guess. The Spirit testifies to you that you are a child of God. I know people that go around and they have no idea whether or not they're a believer. But they talk about losing their salvation. Do you know how blasphemous it is to speak about losing your salvation? The Holy Spirit gives us the regeneration and ears to hear the Word of Christ, and then assures us that we're a child of God, and gives us that everlasting life, and we say that we can lose that? That's simply saying that the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit is not effectual. That it doesn't, you can lose that. It can be temporary. That's blasphemous. The Holy Spirit, notice John 5:39 as He testifies of Jesus Christ. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of Me." So through the Scriptures, we find the Holy Spirit testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is simply telling the Pharisees, when you go to the Scriptures and you think you have life because you have the Word, but if you don't see Me in the Word, you've missed it, because they reveal Me. They testify. They proclaim Me. You remember on the road to Emmaus, from the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, through the Proverbs and the Old Testament prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, they all testify of Me, as Jesus gave them a Bible study. And He says, they all testify of Me. If you believed Moses, you would believe Me. Notice 1 Peter 1:11, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. These are the Old Testament prophets who are writing about Jesus Christ, and it's the Spirit of Christ who was testifying to them in what manner and the timing that the Lord Jesus Christ would come on the scene. That's why when you read Isaiah 53, that Philip has no problem explaining Jesus Christ from Isaiah 53 as he comes up to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he says, "Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless somebody explains it to me?" He jumps up into the chariot and he begins at Isaiah 53 and he says, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And he says, who's he speak of? Himself or another? And Philip begins at that verse to proclaim to him Jesus. Because that is the spirit of the prophets, was the spirit of Jesus Christ testifying of Him. John 15:26, when the Spirit comes, the Helper, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That's what we need from a pulpit ministry, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is a, it's called a John Knox pulpit. And on this pulpit, there is a little plaque, and it's usually right there in front of the preacher's face as he comes up to the pulpit. And on the plaque, it says, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." Because that's the pulpit ministry, isn't it? That you see Jesus through the preaching of the Word. That you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might know that you are the children of the living God. For Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death into life, and nevermore will he come into condemnation." You've passed, beloved. If you're believing, you're hearing, you're trusting, you're looking to the ministry of Jesus Christ, you've passed from death into life, and you will nevermore come into condemnation. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the blessed benefit that we have as the people of God, whom Jesus sends. What a gift of the Spirit of God to regenerate our souls, to raise us up to newness of life, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to motivate us, to spur us on, to bring glory and honor and praise to the Christ who has redeemed us by his perfect life and by his atoning death, that we might then cry out, "Abba, Father." Don't forget, beloved, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He mortifies, he leads, he adopts, and he testifies that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Shall we pray?